Proverbs chapter number 15. We're continuing in our study of the book of Proverbs. The last couple times we met, we were looking at this idea, what is an abomination to God? And we've concluded through the scriptures from Proverbs chapter 6 and then Proverbs 10 last week, some things that are an abomination to God. We're going to pick that up today as we continue with this idea of what is an abomination to God. We're going to look at Proverbs 15 and verse number 8 as we see a second thing that's an abomination to God, and that's the futile sacrifices of the wicked, the futile sacrifices of the wicked. So let's look at Proverbs 15 and verse number 18, and who would read that for the pastor, and then we'll have a word of prayer before the Bible study. Proverbs 15 and verse number 8. All right, thank you, brother. All right, so again, as before we go to the Lord in a word of prayer, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. So we're going to be looking at this idea, the futile sacrifices of the wicked. Father, we come before you this evening, Father. We thank you, Father, for the testimony time, how you have worked in people's hearts and lives. And Lord, you have done things that we couldn't have done ourselves, that we know that you had your hand in it. And Lord, we praise you for the testimony of healings and providing for us and working in hearts and lives. And so, Father, now as we have come before you asking these requests, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would answer them according to your perfect will. And now, Father, for this time of prayer and Bible study, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to give understanding of this matter of what is an abomination to God in order that we might understand it so we can avoid being an abomination to you. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Again, follow along as I read it one more time. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. So what are these sacrifices of abomination? I think we could boil it down to this little an acronym, and that word, they are a big fib. F standing for fake, I standing for insincere, and B standing for blasphemous. So that's what these futile sacrifices that are abomination to the Lord. They are fake, they're insincere, and they're blasphemous. And the truth of the matter is, the heart of the wicked is not yielded to the Lord. They may say their heart is yielded to them, but the heart of the wicked is not yielded to the Lord. In fact, it's in quite opposite. I believe it's in defiance to the Lord. And the purpose of the sacrifice of the wicked is probably, number one, to make the sacrificer look better. And so when they sacrifice something, those that are wicked, they want to make themselves look better than they really are. Sometimes people sacrifice to ease their guilty conscience, don't they? You know, there's been times in my life, perhaps where I haven't always been where I needed to be with the Lord in my early Christian life, and I just thought, well, I'm just going to give a double tithe this week to make up. Listen, that's an abomination unto the Lord. Or perhaps the sacrificer might feel forced to make a sacrifice, but resents it. And so, in other words, he thinks, well, everybody else is going to give to this building fund, so I'm going to give to the building fund, and really, it's an abomination unto the Lord. As we look at this futile sacrifice of the wicked, I think we see two things. First of all, we see a naive worship. A naive worship. Let me say that someone could be a really good person. Listen, they could do all kinds of good deeds. They could do all kinds of religious, quote-unquote, things. But if they haven't received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and put their faith in Him for their salvation and only in Him, all their efforts, all their deeds, all their giving, all their doing, and all their sacrificing is not going to hold any favor in the eyes of God. As a matter of fact, when someone refuses to accept the salvation, the free gift that God has for you and I, it shows this. It shows their defiance to God. It shows that they're in opposition to God's plan for man. After all, God does not desire that any man die and go to hell. And He desires for all of us to come under repentance and receive His Son as our personal Savior. So whether you're here tonight and you choose to believe it or not, the spiritual condition of the worshiper determines whether or not the sacrifice or the worship or the ministry is pleasing or acceptable in the eyes of God Himself. I don't know about you, But when I worship God and I sacrifice the gift to God and I serve God, I want it to be pleasing to Him. I want Him to receive what I have and not reject it as an abomination. Well, we see oftentimes that the naive worship, but then notice something else. We find that the wicked worship. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 27. Proverbs 21 and verse 27. That the naive worship, and they think they can just give things to God and kind of be pleasing to God, but that's not the case. But then notice the wicked worship. Who would read Proverbs 21 and verse 27 tonight? Who hasn't read yet tonight? Sister, thank you. Stop right there. What was that last word? The sacrifice of the wicked is what? Abomination. Okay, continue on. All right. So here God says the sacrifice of a wicked is abomination. But then He tags something on. If it's like making something going from bad even to worse. Notice what He says. When He bringeth it with a wicked mind. It kind of reminds me of Ezra chapter number 4 when Israel's enemy came to Zerubbabel. Remember, Zerubbabel was rebuilding the temple. And they came to him and they said, hey, let us help you build the temple. Notice he basically said this. He said, ye have nothing to do with us to build the house unto our Lord. And so we find that these people came. They did not really want to help Zerubbabel. They wanted to hurt him. And they came to destroy, not edify or lift up the house of the Lord. Here's the truth. Wicked people often try to appease their conscience by making donations, like I said before. Well, I'm going to give an extra tithe, or I might not be living right, but I hear you're building the building, so I'm going to write you a check for $5,000. Well, I do really appreciate that, but really, your sacrifice is an abomination to God. How many times has the pastor ever said that? You know? Yeah, because a lot of times that's what happens. You know, in West Virginia, when my pastor, before I got there, was going to build a gymnasium, the town, the county and the town, people around him heard he was going to build a gymnasium. They thought it was a good thing. Get the kids off the side of the mountain in the place where they could watch them and control them. And lots of people built this gymnasium and then fit it with bleachers and basketball courts and all kinds of things. And that's a wonderful thing. But I wonder, I thought about it. As I began to read this and study this passage, I wonder if my pastor said, hey, I appreciate your $5,000 donation, but did you know that the Bible says that the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination? Thank you for the check, but it's not really going to do you any good in the eyes of God. Probably not. But maybe if we did that, maybe it would change people's hearts just a little bit. Well, they try to appease by making donations or offering assistance to the Lord's work. And understand this, that we have to believe this, that it's abomination to God. It's not our thinking, but God says it's an abomination. And worship that is naive, not understanding the totality of really what God expects, is bad enough. But worship that has evil intentions is absolutely atrocious in the eyes of God. And think about this. This kind of people are the same kind of people that are described in the book of Jude. We're not going to take time to read that tonight, but go home and read that. You'll find out these wicked people are an abomination. Jude is writing about that. Someone said this, worship without repentance is going through the motions of futility. And how true that is. And worship done with the intentions of corrupting other people or furthering wickedness is horrific to the Lord. And if you really think about it, the extent of man or mankind's sinfulness is limitless. Let me give you an illustration. Albert Einstein was giving a lecture way back in 1948. Some of you were alive there. Who was alive there in 1948? Anybody care to admit it? Just one, two of you? Yep, all right, 1948, there you go. Amen, praise the Lord. I was born in 1962. Albert Einstein was given a lecture in 1948, and he spoke of the nature of man in relation to the world. And this is a quote that he said. He said, the true problem lies in the hearts and thoughts of men. I read that first part and I thought, duh, we already know that. He said, it's not a physical, but a ethical one, or we could say a moral one. But I think it goes even deeper than that. What terrifies us is not the explosive force of the atom bomb, but the power of the wickedness of the human heart. You see, the truth of the matter is the extent of man's wickedness and his sinfulness in his heart is limitless. And most religions today really have this idea that religious sacrifices can be offered up to a God for any reason. And they offer up without having any kind of genuine repentance and not having any submission to God himself. But God makes it clear that that sacrifice is not going to be pleasing him. That sacrifice is not going to be received by him. Because without Jesus Christ deep in our hearts, our righteousness is a pile of filthy rags in the sight of God. I know you can maybe quote this, but let's turn there and follow along. Isaiah 64 in verse number 6. Isaiah 64 in verse number 6. You know, sometimes we hear some, I call them choice verses, over and over again because they're so rich and so true. And we hear them, we can semi-halfway quote them, but you ask them, well, where's that at in the Bible? Well, I don't know, it's somewhere in there. Let me get my concordance and dig it out. So let's look at it. Isaiah 64 and verse number 6, since this is a Wednesday prayer and Bible study time, let's study the Bible. Isaiah 64 and 6. Who hasn't read yet tonight would like to read? All right, thank you, sister. Amen. So we see that we are all as unclean things and all our righteousness are as filthy rags until we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ that only comes when we repent of our sin and put our faith and trust in him. Well, we see there's naive worship and there's wicked worship. But look at the second part. Turn back to Proverbs 15 and verse number 8. Proverbs 15 and verse number 8. Back to our text verse this evening. Look at the last half of that verse, amen. That was the bad news. It talked about naive worship that's abomination to God. It talked about wicked worship that's abomination to God. Let's talk about something that God receives in the last part of verse number 15. Chapter 15 and verse number 8. Notice what the Bible says. But the prayer of the upright is his what? Delight. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a dearth in the eyes of God. I want to be a delight in the eyes of God. True worship is brought by those who have been bought. You say, bought what? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 says, for ye were bought with a price. Therefore, I glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The price that paid for you and I was his shed blood on the cross for you and I. Those worshipers who do that are saved. They're sold out. They're serving God, surrendered to what his will is for their life. They serve with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul to the best of their ability as God moves them to do so. Once again, it reminds me of Psalm 51, which we covered a week or so ago, in verses 16 and 17 that says this, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Well, we see from 2 weeks ago what's an abomination to God. First of all, false balances and faulty weights. Tonight we saw the futile sacrifices of the wicked or an abomination to God. But then notice and turn to Proverbs 28 and verse number 9. Proverbs 28, Debbie. Proverbs 28 and verse number 9. Debbie busted me. She said, Pastor, you tell us to turn there, but you don't turn there. I said, yeah, you're right, because I have the scriptures in my notes, amen. She said, I just thought it was weird. You want us to turn, but you don't turn there. Well, part of the reason is because you get distracted trying to go there from the thought I have. So understand this. I do have the scriptures. Sometimes I turn there with a large passage. If it's something short, I just copy and paste the Bible right onto my notes. Makes it easier for me, Debbie. Yeah. She said, the camera showed down like this, and you said, turn there. She said, one time you faked this out. You went like this, but turned back and kept on reading your notes. I said, well, I'm going to turn there and read it from there. But then I said, no. So listen, you just have to trust me. If I read it and you turn there, amen, it's going to be where it's at. But having said that, who would read Proverbs 28 and verse number 9 tonight? Proverbs 28 and verse number 9. All right. Thank you, Sandy. Mm-hmm. That's right. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, we could say the word of God, even his prayer shall be what? An abomination. Does that stab you in the heart? How many times have we turned away or ran away or looked away from hearing God's word? It's not that we didn't hear it. It's that we didn't want to apply it to our life. God says that is abomination. So that phrase, turneth away his ear, literally means this. It means to depart. It means to avoid. It means to turn aside, or literally means to turn away from. And this verse describes somebody who deliberately refuses to listen, or if they hear, to follow God's word. There's a problem in the lives of people through all the scripture. Ever since the beginning of time, it's been that way. Ever since Adam and Eve, all the way up until the day we live in today. Turn in your Bible now. I'll give you a second to find this one. Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. It might be easier to turn to Matthew and then start looking backwards. Zechariah chapter number 7. If that can't find it, go to the index in the front. Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 12. It's been a problem of hearing and not doing ever since the beginning of time. Who would read Zechariah 7 and verse 12? Has anybody found it yet? All right, Dan, thank you. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. All right. So in other words, we could basically say this, that Zechariah is writing penning these words down from God, simply saying this, and God is saying, listen, you heard the law, but you didn't apply it to your life. Turn to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. Matthew 13 and verse 15. And while you're reading that, I'm going to read Psalm 50 and verse number 17. The Bible says, seeing that thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. You know what? Aren't we that way sometimes? We hear the preacher preach. We hear the Sunday school teacher teach. He brings up a point, and the Holy Spirit of God convicts our hearts of that. And guess what we do? We hatest the instructions and casteth his word behind us. Guess what? God says the prayers of that person are abomination unto him. Who would read Matthew 13 and verse 15? All right. Thank you, David. All right. So basically we have pretty much the same thing, the same instruction being taught in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And really, as I looked at these passages, it's not if they can't understand, but that they won't understand. They turn from it. Notice, first of all, if you're taking notes, the turning out. We've all heard of people who don't listen and are tuned out. They come into church and their mind's on dinner, their mind's on work, their mind's on their grandchildren, their mind's on everything out, and they tune out the preaching of the word. God's people often tune out from listening to God's word, but they have the audacity to pray to a God that they've been ignoring. They sit in church and they tune God out. They let it go in one ear and out the other, and they go home to find out that auntie is sick, and they begin to pray. And what kind of audacity is to do that? You just tune God out, but now you're trying to tune into him. I think that kind of thinking reveals a person who really does not understand the seriousness of their sin and the futility of their efforts. God said, if you hear my word but don't apply it to your life, your prayers are an what? Abomination unto him. And most of the time, I really believe this, it reveals this kind of attitude of hypocrisy. I'm going to show up in church, I'm going to put my tithe in here, and preacher can preach whatever he wants, and he can hear that wonderful music, makes me feel good, but I'm not going to be obedient to what God has for me to do. It's hypocrisy in our lives. The Lord doesn't listen to those kind of prayers because they're selfish prayers, they're demanding prayers, they're contrary to his will, they're contrary to the word of God. God doesn't hear prayers if we intend to return and do the same thing. It's like this: God, forgive me for swearing, but I know I'm going to swear next hour. God don't hear prayers like that. That's not a true heart of repentance. God doesn't hear that. If we're willfully deaf to the instructions that God gives us, then the Lord's going to be deaf to our prayers unless it's the prayer of repentance. Understand this, that those prayers that after we hear but don't apply, he said those prayers after that are an abomination unto me. How dare we come to God bringing our needs to him when he challenges our hearts and we don't do anything about it? Well, Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 59, verse 2 basically says almost the same thing. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Well, as we think about this passage tonight, we see the turning out, but then notice as well, the good part turning in. Let me ask you, how do you listen to the preaching of the Word of God? How do you listen to the preaching of the Word of God? I hope and pray that when you gather to come on Wednesday evenings and on Sunday morning for Sunday school and the a.m. and p.m. service, that you might have a prayer like this: God, I'm coming to hear something from you today. God, I desire to hear from you today. Listen, all we do is come in here and just sit on the pew and have our hands folded and our legs crossed and have our Bible open in our lap, but God doesn't speak to our hearts. What are we doing here? Why are you coming here? The truth is, we need to ask God to give me something. Give me something that I need today. And in saying that, guess what? Oftentimes, it might not be what you want to hear, but it's what God desires for you to hear. Because it was up to me and you. No matter what the pastor preached, you'd hear this: oh, you're going to heaven when you die. Praise God. Streets of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to bless you because you give your tithe. But listen, not all preaching and teaching is that way. Sometimes it's on the negative side as well. So instead of tuning out, we need to tune in. We need to have the attitude that the Berean Christians had in Acts 17 and verse number 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word gives the idea of more than just hearing it, receiving the word with all readiness of mind. That means their mind was open and they were ready to make the changes in their life. And then the Bible, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things be so. That's why oftentimes lately I've been giving you these little handouts. We have two here that are left if you haven't gotten one for this Bible study, because I want you to go home and search the scriptures to see what I have to say is according to the word of God. So they listened to the Apostle Paul, these Bereans, with an open mind. And listen, they didn't listen with contempt. They didn't get mad. Listen, Paul preached some pretty harsh sermons. I think about the letters that he wrote to the church at Corinth and others as well. They were downright. He's calling sin, sin, and you need to get right. And they didn't listen with contempt, or they didn't form opinions or have some objections to what God's man Paul was preaching. They didn't ask foolish questions at the end of his preaching. The Bible said they received it. They applied it to their life. Get this, they wanted to hear what Paul had to say, and they wanted to believe what God had for them. They were thankful that they had a man of God that could declare the scriptures to them and preach the truth of the word of God, whether it convicted their heart or whether it enlightened their heart. They were glad about both of them. They received the word of God, the Bible said, with readiness of mind. You know what that word readiness means? Eagerness. They were eager to hear from God. Are you eager to hear from God when you come into the house of the Lord? Let me help you tonight. Learn the word of God, hear the word of God, and put God's word into practice. Well, as we close, we saw the futile sacrifices of the wicked, and we saw the faithless, false-hearted prayers as well. So let me ask you this. In your worship, make sure your heart is right before you come into the house of the Lord. Make sure it's right before you give, before you serve, or before you sing. Ask yourself this question. Am I doing this for the Lord with a sincere heart? Because no doubt you're doing it for the Lord. But are you doing it with a sincere heart? A heart that God would say, those sacrifices are pleasing to me. And then in your prayer life, decide that you'll listen to God before you speak to God. That's why I've encouraged you these last 15 years to read the Word of God first before you pray. Let Him speak to you, then you speak to Him. Open His Word, submit to His Word, and then bring Him your request. And may the Lord help us to hate what God calls an abomination. And may He help us to love what God delights in, honesty and true worship. And how about this, our obedient hearts that both hear and heed the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Father, for